Well, today's gospel is chock full of interesting topics. Let's see, right off the top, we see the crowds were so distracting that Jesus and his disciples couldn't even eat. Can you imagine traveling from place to place with just sandals on your feet, in the heat, and dry desert-like conditions of the Middle East? Finally, you find a house where you are actually welcomed. And what might be the first thing you're needing? Food? Water? Now, what kind of crowd would have been gathered that they couldn't even have a quick bite? Was the crowd being unruly, or were they demanding to see Jesus? I don't know about you, but when I'm overly hungry or thirsty, I have a very hard time functioning. Some people might even get hangry. The second point we see here that Jesus' own family wanted to restrain him because he had gone out of his mind. Now that's the NRSV version, not the Message version. Many believe Jesus was possessed by demons. Now why would his family be so concerned with Jesus? Now on the one hand, we like to think that his family was concerned about Jesus' welfare, as the crowd that had gathered may not want to be healed, but may want to harm him. On the other hand, perhaps his family was concerned about their reputation. They were outside the door of where Jesus was staying for a reason. If they traveled all that way, they have definitely received some alarming reports by the people they trust. Today, but more so in the time of Jesus, a family's reputation and honor was very important. Next, we have the saying, a house divided against itself cannot stand. This version is actually from a speech by Abraham Lincoln, where he said that he believed that his government could not endure permanently half slave, half free. In the time of Jesus was on earth, he healed the sick and cast out demons from people. And just as our reading said to us today, does it make sense to send a devil to catch a devil, to use Satan to get rid of Satan? Today we see many houses divided, governments, families, and even churches are divided by opposing views and beliefs. South of the border, we see bitter fights between Democrats and Republicans. In Canada, federally, it's the Grits against the Tories. Here in Ontario, it's the PCs, NDP, and not so much the Liberals anymore. We must now wait and see what the new PC government will do for us Ontarians. Lastly, disciples say to Jesus that his mom and brothers and sisters want to see him. Perhaps Jesus knew why they wanted to see him, that is, to haul him away so he doesn't embarrass them anymore. But Jesus replies, "Who are my mothers and brothers and sisters?" As I said in the children's message, isn't that a little strange? He doesn't know his own mother. I mean, he does, doesn't he? Maybe he's so hungry he can't think straight. Jesus wasn't trying to dismiss his blood relatives, his family. He loved his family, especially his mother. On the cross, Jesus made sure his mother was taken care of. In John 19, 26 to 27, we read, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, 'Woman, here is your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home." So we can say for certain, Jesus loved his mom. Now, Jesus didn't say outright, "I do not want to see my mother, brothers, or sisters." Jesus didn't say that. So what did the disciples think of this rather cryptic message? Well, let's go back to the house where they were sitting with Jesus. Can you picture the room? The disciples were sitting in a circle with Jesus at the top. They were tired because they just a few verses before they climbed to that mountain and Jesus named his apostles. The room that they were in, I imagine, was small. It was hot. Did I mention they hadn't eaten? So then after, they just told Jesus his mother and brothers and sisters were just outside and they wanted to see him. And he says, who are they? After Jesus says this to the newly appointed apostles, they look around each other in bewilderment and puzzled look on their faces. A few shrug their shoulders and are thinking, on the journey with Jesus so far, he said some pretty bizarre things. I mean, the parables. Who can understand what they're all about? There was probably a bit of time that Jesus let go by for a little dramatic effect before he says, whoever does the will of God is my brother, mother, and sister. I can see the apostles pause for a second, let it sink in. Then the hands go up in the air, the heads shake yes, and exclaim, oh yeah, I knew what he was talking about. I knew it all along. I was just playing along. I could see Peter say to Jesus, oh yeah, we get it. But seriously, Lord, your mom's outside. I mean, do you want to see her? Peter. So what did Jesus mean when he said, whoever does the will of God is my brother, mother, and sister? What is the will of God? Or what is the will of God for me? In the Lord's Prayer, we profess just about every Sunday the words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe the will of God is the same for all of us. I believe that the will of God for us on earth is peace. An everlasting peace where sister and brother are not fighting for land or control. An everlasting peace where power is not an overwhelming obsession for those in government or those wish to govern. I believe that the will of God for us on earth is love. God sent down his only Son to show us what true love of others really means. Jesus said, love your enemies, turn the other cheek, and love others as yourself. Jesus showed love to tax collectors, prostitutes, the poor, and the sick. I believe that the will of God for us on earth is forgiveness. Jesus forgives our sins through his sacrifice on the cross. We also have been empowered to forgive others who trespassed against us. This most certainly means that we should not hold grudges against other people, especially our families, and it is our duty as Christians to forgive others as we have been forgiven. I believe the will of God for us on earth is grace. Grace can be defined as unmerited favor from God. That is, God loves us and smiles on us even though we are sinners and don't deserve it. Yet God does give us grace because we are his children and he loves us unconditionally. As we are given grace, so too we are to give grace to other people. In other words, give people a break. Be more understanding and gentle and kind with those who may frustrate us sometimes. I believe that the will of God for us on earth is discipleship. Jesus was always trying to teach us to cast a wider net. But don't look inward to this community, but out into the world. It's not about the love of self and the love of those we love. It's about making disciples of all nations. Loving the other whom we don't know. It's giving to the mission work of the church. It's about sending Heather to an impoverished third world country and helping distribute medicine to those in need. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. But what does this mean for us? I believe it means that if we as God's people promote peace in our world, that we love one another, that we forgive others, that we give each other a little grace more often, and that we act as disciples in the world, then, as brothers and sisters, we are Christians. In 1977, from the album Even in the Quietest Moments, the band Supertramp recorded the song Give a Little Bit. A few of the lyrics are, "There's so much that we need to share, so send a smile and show you care. I'll give a little bit. I'll give a little bit of my life for you. So give a little bit. Give a little bit of your time to me. So the man with the lonely eyes, oh, take his hand, you'll be surprised." We may ask ourselves, what can we do to be disciples and do the will of God? There is so much we need to share of ourselves. It may be as simple as smiling at a stranger you show to care. Here are some ways that this might happen. You're in the line at the bank, and there's some person standing next to you with a Blue Jay shirt on. You could say, "The Jays are really struggling this year, eh?" How about you're in the line of Tim Hortons, and there's a mother and a daughter in line, and you might say to the daughter, "That's a pretty outfit you have on today." You also might see a man and a dog out front of the Timmys who looks like he needs some grace. Maybe you could give a little bit. Give a little bit of your time to him. You might buy a coffee and a sandwich. You might actually ask him how he's doing. You might ask him, "Hey, what's the name of your dog?" You see, this interaction may be the only conversation he's had with anyone all day, despite the fact there have been 100 people in and out of that Timmy's since he arrived early in the morning. But as most people do, they look the other way and ignore him as if he wasn't even there. See the man with the lonely eyes. Oh, take his hand and you'll be surprised. Is he not our brother? I say to you, my brothers and sisters, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He gave all. So why is it so hard for us to give a little bit?